In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We've been doing a Bible study in the book of Leviticus. I had to put it on hiatus because things this time of year get very hectic, and then we have house blessing season, which is also hectic, so it's going to resume on the second week of Lent. But we went through the chapter on leprosy, which I think most people, when you're reading the Bible and you haven't really dug deeply into it, you probably think this has got to be the most boring and irrelevant chapter in the entire Bible, and you don't see that it has anything of any relevance. But when you hear the gospel reading today about the 10 lepers, you ought to start connecting some dots. But if you were in the Bible study, you'd already be connecting these dots, because we've talked quite a bit about how leprosy is an image of sin. There are actually several different kinds of diseases that symbolize different kinds of sins. But leprosy begins small, and then it spreads. And initially it's something that you could kind of keep hidden, but eventually becomes very obvious. And that's the way it is with most sins. Sins start to consume us. We can begin with a small sin that no one but God can see, but if it's left unchecked, it develops into something that's obvious to all the world. And a leper was cut off from society. They had to live in isolation, and that's why the lepers in the gospel reading are said to have stood afar off, and then they had to shout to Christ, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Sin is ultimately, when you get down to the bare essence of sin, sin is a lack of love. When we sin, it's because we fail to love God or we fail to love our neighbor. Sin is driven by selfishness, where we're focusing on ourselves and we're making ourselves the God of the universe rather than the real God. And sin destroys relationships, and a sinner ultimately destroys even himself if he doesn't repent. But God, who loves mankind, provides us with the means to heal this disease and to bring us back into a proper relationship with God and with our neighbor, and this is through repentance, which is why the lepers are crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Christ, through the shedding of his blood on the cross, has provided the means by which we can be healed, but for us to receive the grace of healing, we have to repent and we have to believe. This is made very clear in the Gospels. We have to sincerely turn away from our sins. We have to make a decision that we are going to no longer continue to do those things. Now, particularly when you're talking about sins that involve addiction, that doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle with actually maintaining that resolution, that you might fall. But it does mean that if you really repent, you at least have to have the intention, and every time you fall, you should be reminded of your need of God's grace for you to overcome this sin. But you should never give up the struggle. You should never give up the intention to overcome these sins, because sins separate us from God. And there's nothing in this world that we should allow to disrupt our relationship with God if we truly love him. Christ says in the Gospels, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." We have to believe also that God is merciful, and that if we repent, he will forgive us, and we can believe this because Christ has promised us this in the Gospels. And so, what was Christ's response to these 10 lepers? It says, "When he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priest." Christ healed them, but they needed to go show themselves to the priest. And this is an image of confession. This is what the saints say about this passage. Anytime you fall into a sin, you should immediately repent. You don't wait till you go to confession to repent of your sins. You should immediately repent of your sins. But you should still show yourselves unto the priest. Go to confession. Why is that? Because you need to be accountable. You know, in the Old Testament, if you were a leper that thought that you were healed, you might not be completely objective about whether or not you were really healed. And that's the reason why you had to have someone else, a priest, look and examine to see whether you were really healed and should be allowed to be readmitted back into society or not. Well, it's the same thing with confession. When we have our sins, we confess to God, but the priest is there as a witness, and he asks questions like, you know, what was the motive behind that? You know, he might ask some additional questions. What led to this? And also talk about ways to avoid getting into this in the future. And so confession is a crucial aspect of it. It's not because the priest by his own power confers forgiveness. It's God's grace and mercy that confirms forgiveness, but it is the priest who by the power that Christ gave the apostles in the Gospel of John where he said, whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven, and whoever sins you don't forgive, they're not forgiven. He gave the apostles that power, and the priest and the bishops have that power. Priests are basically like the deputies of the bishop. We don't have all the powers that bishops have, but we've been deputized to do certain things because bishops can't be everywhere within their diocese. And then it says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The significance being that Samaritans were seen as not being of the same lineage. They were of mixed ancestry with some Israelite ancestry, but also other kinds of pagans, but also their faith was a heretical faith. And this is confirmed in the New Testament, so it's not just the Jewish opinion. Christ said to the Samaritan woman, you worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But nevertheless, this person who was an adherent to a heretical faith nevertheless had more sense than the other people who were with him who were Israelites and knew that he ought to render thanks to God because of this great miracle that had been done. There's a need for us to have thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. And the word Eucharist actually means thanksgiving. And so one way that we give thanks is by constantly preparing for communion, which involves prayer, but also going to confession regularly, fasting, and then also receiving communion worthily, and then thanking God after we receive communion. So you should always be in a cycle where you're either preparing for communion or you're thanking God that you took communion. But you should try to be taking communion as often as you possibly can. Why does a parent teach their children to show gratitude? It's not because the parent needs their ego stroked and they're looking for some kind of affirmation by their child. It's because you as a parent know that your child is going to grow up to be an obnoxious person that people are not going to like if they don't learn how to show gratitude. And it also disrupts your relationship with them when you're doing good things for them but they don't recognize where it's coming from. So they, to maintain a right relationship with their parents, need to learn how to be thankful for the things that they get and also for the things that they get from other people. This is one of these crucial things, and love cannot be a one-way street for it to be a healthy relationship. We can love our enemies, and that will be a one-way street if our enemies remain our enemies because they're not going to love us back. But we're not in a right relationship with our enemies either. But to be in a right relationship with another human being, that love has to be a two-way street. And so when someone that you love does something for you, if you're in a right relationship with them, you're going to show your appreciation and vice versa. And this strengthens your love for one another. Well, God is infinitely above anything human, and our thoughts are only faint reflections of the reality that we see with God. But nevertheless, God knows that we need to recognize where the good things come from so that we can maintain a right relationship with Him. And so it's for our own good that we need to have thanks. It's for our own benefit. As we heard in the epistle reading today, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, through the forgiveness of sins. Amen.